Amen, and good Sunday morning to you. And you're hearing Pastor O. It's the wrong voice. It should be our assistant pastor, Janice Tate. But we're everything's working as far as the microphones. And you've probably called in, and you can hear me. You logged in, and you can hear me. The problem is I have no switchboard. Blog Talk Radio is suffering some problems with their website, and that's where the switchboard is, and that's where I do everything. That's where I open and close microphones. That's where I play songs. Everything is there. Without that, I'm basically blind as to what's happening. I can't see who's called in. Amen. So without the switchboard, I'm not actually dead, but I'm unable to communicate with you. Right now, again, you should be hearing our assistant pastor, Janice Tate. She began last week teaching on the book of 1 Corinthians. But the problem with that is even if I can't open her microphone, so, of course, you're hearing my voice. And I don't know how long it's going to take for them to get this problem fixed. And I'm sure we're not the only church who's waiting this morning for this to be fixed. I know a lot of people are panicking, but I've been doing Blog Talk Radio since 2009. And so I'm used to it. I'm used to the things that can happen. And trust me, man can only reach a volumetric efficiency of like 75%. There's always going to be that 25% out there that we seem to not be able to access. So, okay, I'm trying to wait and keep refreshing this site and see if it's going to get fixed, because like I said, I'm sure a whole lot of other people other than us are experiencing this problem, because since we can't go to church, all we're left with is these kinds of processes or processes to get our word out. Amen. This is all we have. And I'm also trying to hear Jesus, even as I'm talking, as to what he really wants me to do on this Sunday morning. Amen. And I believe what we're going to do until this situation fixes itself. I won't go forward in the teaching of Pastor Tate, but what I will do is just a sort of a review. We'll deal with that, and maybe by the time we get to the end of this, they will have the problem solved, and we can, amen, get back to it. This reminds me of one morning, one Sunday morning, one of the teachers wasn't able to teach, and I picked up the phone, and I called Pastor Tate. You know, when I call her, Amen. Something's going on, because I'm real horrible at telephones, answering them and making calls. So anyway, she knew what was up, though. If I'm calling, there's a problem. Amen. And she was ready, and I thrust her into the seat, and I was telling Jesus, better her than me. And this morning, she probably laughed. Amen. My father used to tell me, be careful, son. Laughing is catching. And now I got caught, and now I'm sitting here in this seat, and trust me, I was not prepared to teach anything. This is my weekend off, praying that this gets fixed, because Associate Pastor John McFall going to preach this morning. And I just hope Jesus don't have an idea of me teaching, and then amen. But whatever Jesus' ideas are, he know no matter what I say, I'm going to do it. I'm like Peter. I'll get out the boat and start walking and then sink. But Jesus will come and fix me up, get me back in the boat, and then miraculously get me where I'm going when I couldn't get there myself. Amen. But anyway, we'll just get into this. I mean, she did such an excellent job. She didn't leave no meat on the bone. That's how she do. She is an excellent Bible teacher and preacher. So, amen. I really don't know what to tell you. Amen. Okay, one more try, and Jesus will let me know what to do. As soon as this thing starts spinning, I'm going to know what to do. Amen. Okay, I know what to do. So anyway, we're talking about Corinthians. This is one of the churches that Paul planted, you know, during his second missionary journey, and the reason I know that is because it's Corinth. Okay, the first churches were in Asia Minor. You know those churches you hear mentioned over there in Revelation, the church at Ephesus, church at Sardis, church at Smyrna, Laodicea, and all those cities. Those were in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey, okay? But this is Corinth. So we know his second missionary journey, he kind of didn't know which way to go. Paul, we're talking about the Apostle Paul. But first, let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we definitely need you today. We got you today, so we thank you today. Help us to get this today in Jesus' name on today. Amen. Okay, so we know this is his second missionary journey because it begins in Philippi. You remember that little incident, you know, when he went down there and the little devil got inside the girl who was a fortune teller, which tells us we should not. Christian, can I go ahead and put this out there? This ain't even a sidebar. This is straightforward. Amen. Get far away from astrology. Stop calling yourself a Virgo or a Taurus. That comes from the devil. Amen. So I ain't going to preach my sermon, but Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, people don't even know Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. You know why? Because their names got changed to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Okay? The devil, since they're working in the devil's kingdom now, I ain't going to preach my sermon, but anyway, they're working in the devil's kingdom now. So now, amen, he wants to switch their names around to give them a new identity. Amen. And that's what the devil does with astrology. Amen. Calling yourself a Virgo or a Pisces or one of them things. That's not from God. Jesus never called you that. Amen. And that girl, that's what she was in that day. She was a modern day Madame Cleo, a psychic. And she was good at it too, you know, because the Bible says her masters made a whole lot of gain out of her. Okay. The problem was when Paul cast the demon out of her, she couldn't do it anymore. So that lets you know it wasn't coming from God. It was coming from demons. So when you say, I'm a Virgo, I'm a this, I'm a that, and define yourself as that, you might as well go and take up residence in Babylon and call yourself Meshach or something. Amen. In the name of their God. No, you are a child of God, a daughter of God. That's what you are. Amen. None of that other stuff defines you. You can't be defined by that. You define yourself. So Paul's in Philippi, and this is the beginning of his second missionary journey. He end up in jail, but he don't lose faith in God. He gets to see the supernatural happen. God tear up the jail, save everybody's soul. Then they kick him out, okay? But he continues his journey until he finally ends up in Corinth. Corinth. That was somewhere to end up. Corinth. If you really want to know how bad Corinthians was, the Corinth, amen, go with me to Acts chapter 18, I believe it is, or 19, one of them chapters. We're going to find it because it's in the Bible. Amen. Now, Paul was in Corinth, amen, and he was looking around. See, Corinth was a seaport town like Ephesus. That's why they were so crazy. People come there for liberty. I remember when I was in the Navy, any town we went into where we went for liberty, oh, yeah, it was the red light. I ain't going to even talk no more about that. But anyway, it was a seaport town, and sailors and everybody else, travelers, merchants, they all would go right there, and where you get off the boat, that's where everything was happening. You can get everything right there. Okay, so Corinth was a horrible place. People talked about it like this. Oh, yeah, that boy been to Corinth. Why, look at him. Look at him. He Corinthianized. Amen. You remember that movie, Shawshank Redemption, when that boy said, you institutionalized. You could get let out of prison. You can't even live out there. But anyway, when you go to Corinth, you get Corinthianized. It was that bad. Now, you say, Pastor, come on. How you know it was that bad? Give me some scripture. You always give me scripture. Okay, I'm going to give you some scripture. Look at 1 Corinthians. Did I say scripture? I sure did. Medea, see, that's what Medea do to you. But anyway, 1 Corinthians, I mean, look at, see, okay, there you go. We cool now. Okay, go to Acts chapter 18 and look at verse 9. Now, Paul is in Corinth at this time. Okay, he's kind of going crazy too. Okay, they done beat somebody and throw them out of the temple and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, look at verse 9. One night, now you know, let me preface this or, you know, say something like this. One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Now, we know Jesus don't just show up and start talking for nothing. Every time he shows up, he got something to say for real. He's not just coming to say. Now, listen to what he says to Paul, and this is how you know how bad Corinth was. Now, y'all know Paul wasn't no chump, right? Just at the outset of this second missionary journey, he was ready to go to blows with his boy who he had spent 3 years with. They traveled 1,400 miles over 3 years on that first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas. But because John Mark kind of crapped out on that first missionary journey and went back home, okay, because things looked a little tough and a little rough and looked like Paul was stirring up stuff, he went back home. Okay, we don't really know why he went back, but we know he went back. So the second missionary journey getting ready to start, turns out John Mark is Barnabas' nephew. And he's like, I want to take my nephew with us again. Paul like, oh, no, your boy, he chumped out the first time. No, he ain't going nowhere. It got so bad that the Holy Spirit had to separate them two. Okay, but the Holy Spirit, all things work together for God's good, right? Barnabas and John Mark went off to Cyprus, and we know John Mark recovered from his stuff because he wrote the book of Mark. And Paul and Silas goes off on this second missionary journey. So we know from that Paul is not a chump, and remember how he became a Christian in the first place. He was jacking Christians. He was killing some, throwing them in jail, breaking up families. And when he did tore up Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, now he's seeking warrants to go. He put warrants on people. He was seeking warrants to go to foreign cities to persecute them. That's how he was. But that, so he wasn't no chump. Amen. So Paul is in Corinth now. This is how I'm trying to help you to understand how bad Corinth was before he planted that there, and he's getting ready to do that, okay? But watch this. Watch what the Lord said to him. Don't be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. Number one, he's afraid. Number two, he's thinking about stopping speaking. Number three, he thinks it's better to just, okay, I ain't going to preach too much around here. These people are different. They real different. Okay, don't look like they want to hear about Jesus. So he tells him, don't be afraid. Keep on speaking. Don't be silent. He says, for I'm with you. That settles the don't be afraid because I'm with you. Do not. Every time Jesus show up, it's dark and you in his will, but bad stuff happening. Amen. You in his will, you where he told, doing what he told you to do. You ain't even sinning, and here come darkness showing up. But he settles in verse 10. He says, "For I'm with you, so don't be afraid." Well, that takes care of that. I'm with you. You don't need to be afraid. He told his disciples that when they was in that boat and they saw him walking on water, thought he was a ghost, and they started trying to run. They was finna run on water. But anyway, he tells them the first thing he says every time he came to them out there on the water is, do not be afraid, it is I. So here, Paul is afraid, I'm with you. And then he says, no one is going to attack and harm you. So Paul must be thinking, So Jesus said, no one's going to attack and harm you, so keep on speaking and don't be silent. Nobody's going to attack you and harm you, so keep on speaking. Don't see, Paul, on that first missionary journey, things didn't go so hot in Iconium in the cities of Lystra and Derbe. It didn't go so hot. At first, they wanted to worship him because there was a man there who had never walked before, and Paul looked at him and saw he had faith to be healed. And Paul said, hey, well, get up and walk since you got faith to be, and he did. So they thought they was gods, Hermes and Jupiter or somebody, or Mercury. But anyway, they brought out cows and women and everything else. They finna do a sacrifice to him, okay? Paul is like, no, we're here to turn you from that. Now watch how quick the devil turned. One minute they wanted to worship him. The next minute, they dragged him to the edge of the city, okay, threw him on the ground and stoned him and left him for dead. Sort of like he was standing there holding the coats of those who stoned Stephen. Now he know what Stephen felt like. Only Paul didn't die. He got up and went back into the city. That boy loved Jesus. Amen. So anyway, amen. So now Paul is here in Corinth. He might be thinking, oh, I'm getting ready to stop speaking. I'm getting ready to be silent. And why? Because they allowed to put hands on me like they did over there. So he have he's not just afraid. He's thinking, I don't remember what happened last time. They left me for dead. This time, this place so bad, I might be dead. But Jesus comforts him by saying, number one, don't be afraid, I'm with you. Number two and three, okay, and no one is going to attack you and harm you because I got many people in this city. You here on purpose, not your own purpose. This ain't no mistake, just because it's going crazy. Now watch how Paul responds after he heard the word. So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. And when we go back to 1 Corinthians, that's the word of God he was teaching them. He was reminding them that I taught you the word of God. Now, this church is about, what, maybe 5 or 6 years old now? So he expects them to be kind of further down the road. I think AD 55 is when he writes this letter, right? So he kind of expects them to be a little bit further down the road than they are, because they're having some problems they should know how to overcome. They should know how to get past. You know, when you first become a Christian, you know, that year, you know, it's probably still kind of crazy. You're probably still a whole lot like you used to be. Okay? What's changed is God ain't mad at you no more. You're justified. Because you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're justified just as if you never sinned. Why? Because God imputed the righteousness of Jesus Christ to you. Your sin debt is completely paid. And not only that, but as Deacon Charles Tate taught us in Romans chapter 5, that we have, you need to listen to that. Go back to that Sunday when Deacon Charles Tate was teaching and listen to that. We have peace with God. That means, and a lot of Christians be thinking God getting mad at them. No, what? No, all the mad God got at us, he got at Jesus. If you let me say it like that. When Jesus was being towed up by, dragged off to Annas and slapped in the face by the guard who was standing there, okay? And when Jesus was dragged off to Caiaphas and they started beating him all upside the head, saying, prophesy, after they blindfolded, prophesy, who hit you? After the Romans had their time with him, then he got to hang on the cross on the sixth to the ninth hour. See, that was God. He was mad at sin. And Jesus, remember in the garden? Now you know why he said, Father, if there's another way, can you show it to me? And when it wasn't, he said, not my will, yours be done. Why? Jesus saw God's anger, God's punishment of sin. And he was the one who was going to be in the body. Amen. See, because God crucified our sins in his body on the cross. So when Jesus got up, he had identifying marks, but no more marks. Somebody just got blessed. Amen. When he got up, he had identifying marks, but no other marks, no other blemishes. So we won't have any. We don't need to be identified through marks. Amen. But he needed them so his disciples would know, in fact, that it was him. Because the last time they heard about what he looked like from John, who was at the foot of the cross, he said, I didn't know which one he was until they put that sign up. He was so tore up. Amen. So God is not mad with us. He's not angry at us. Amen. Amen. God has made peace with us. And so our sin debt is paid, right? But how long have you been a Christian? That's the question. How long have you been a Christian? And has there been any change? Amen. Has there been any difference in your life? I mean, from year, Jesus said in Philippians 1:6 that he would be working on us. And he promised to carry it out to completion until the day of Christ. That means either we get raptured or Jesus show up in your room and like, it's time to go. Sort of like when he was walking with Enoch. You know what I'm saying? In the Old Testament, he was a theophany, a visible manifestation of God the Son, the second person of the Godhead, a theophany, right? So when Enoch and the Lord was walking, I love how, I think it was Dr. Tony Evans who put it that way. He said that God said, you know what, Enoch, man, we're so close to my house and so far away from where you was, we might as well go on home. And Enoch walked right off into heaven. Can you imagine they waited for him for dinner? Didn't find him. They did. They searched, didn't find him. Nobody knew nothing because he was alone with the Lord and walked off. Amen. Amen. So, but before that, Enoch had this testimony that he walked with God. Amen. So after we get saved, are we walking with the Lord? And that is Paul's concern for these folks at Corinth. You've been saved for 5 years now. Now, Jesus got his disciples together and ready to go in 3 years, then he ascended back into heaven. Amen? 3 years. The Lord gives us about 5 years. Most scholars agree that a Christian should reach maturity in 5 years. That's not to say you're all you're going to be and Jesus is through working on you. But as it says in Hebrews, let us leave these elemental things and move on to weightier matters. You're still talking about baptisms. You're still talking about, oh, I remember when I got saved. It was on a Thursday. No, no, when are we going to talk about living for Jesus after we get saved? When are we going to talk about sanctified? That's why Paul uses that word in his greeting. Listen, Paul called to be an apostle of Christ. That's a whole story by itself. Why he uses that in all of his books. Paul called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the way, because that's a whole other teaching. I ain't going to even get into that, but ask me about that one day. And our other brother, Sosthenes. Now, to the church of God in Corinth, listen to how he says it. He includes it in his salutation because this is what he's going to talk about for the rest of this book. In the rest of 1 Corinthians is going to be centered on this one word, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, watch out, and called to be his holy people together with all those everywhere, like we're doing right now, all of us everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours, my Lord and yours. Amen. Grace and peace. Charis shalom. Grace, charis, it's a Greek word. And peace, shalom, is a Hebrew word. Charis shalom. So Paul's writing to Corinthians who are Greek speakers. Charis and peace to any Hebrews that might be there. Shalom. To you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So what he talks about in the rest of this book is how sanctified folks should act. The word sanctified means set apart for God's service. So Paul is talking to the people who have been set apart for God's servants, set apart to be holy like he's holy, set apart and called to be holy, set apart, called to be holy. Some folk never get to that. They just still in the, I remember when I got saved, it was on a Thursday. Oh, I found him on a Friday. Let me tell my story. It was early one Sunday morning. I was having a whole lot of bad luck. And Jesus, Jesus. You know, I heard that. I must have heard that a million times. Sitting in church, Christians telling that to other Christians. But I was like, so after that Friday, what you do on that Saturday? What you do on that Sunday, that Monday, and the rest of them days? No, see, we get stuck in salvation. And that's cool. We saved. Saved my soul, fitted for the sky. Amen. But when do we get sanctified? When do the Holy Spirit shows up in Acts, I believe it's chapter 13, and he says, now, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I've called them to. Set apart for me. When, that's what the Holy Spirit say. Because if you read, when we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you're going to see some giftings that I talked about that the Holy Spirit gives. Once we're baptized into the body of Christ, we get gifted. But we're talking about still we need to be set apart. It's sooner or later, after you've been in church, sooner or later you should be ready to be sanctified. You should be getting sanctified. See, we like to call other church members names. About, we use that in a derogatory way. That, you know, that's one of them sanctified people over there. That's why they be making all that noise. It don't even take all that. You are sanctified people, or should be. But because we're ignorant of what these words mean and what the Holy Spirit is doing, we don't understand. The process of sanctification is simple. I used to cuss all day, every day. Now that I'm following the Holy Ghost, I just cuss sometime. And then I 1 John 1:9, and I remember that I'm a child of God. I'm set apart to be holy, and holy people don't cuss. Because our Father in heaven, our Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit get grieved when we do those things that God told us not to do. So the Word of God tells us, let us not grieve the Holy Spirit. Let us not make sad the Holy Spirit, because he sees us living a life that is not sanctified, that is not set apart to God. Amen. Well, I've come to the end of my time this morning, but we still have the problem. Now, again, as I told you earlier, it's easy for me to do this because my microphone opens automatically. Once the show starts, my microphone is open because I'm on a different line than you are, okay? You can still hear me because you've called in to listen or you've logged in to listen. But I don't know if you can log in if I can't log in. I think their website is still, I know it's still down because I'm looking right at it, and it's just got a big, giant oops. Website under maintenance. Our engineers are working hard. We'll be back online shortly. Well, shortly didn't happen from 9:30 to 10. So, amen. I think we're going to miss our Sunday service for today. But we've been at Running for Christ. We're a church of teaching, learning, and doing. And we've been doing that since the beginning, and we generally in church regularly on Saturday. We had a worship service yesterday. We're on church on Sunday. We won't be having a worship service today, okay, but we did have some Sunday school. Amen. Tomorrow night on Monday, we're going to have our Bible class. Deaconess Crystal Crump, amen. Excellent Bible teacher. I mean, really, she can grip an audience and hold them for 2 hours. See, I can see the switchboard when it's working, and I can see who's called in to listen who's logged in to listen. And she never loses one listener, because when somebody drop, when somebody hang up, it tells me dropped call, and it alerts me that somebody left. Okay, but she is an awesome teacher. So tune in Monday night. All of them are awesome. None of them drop listeners. Okay, and that's amazing, because to have a hour long Bible class is stretching it. Okay, but to be able to hold somebody's attention for 2 hours and they act like they don't even know it's 2 hours, that's teaching. That's when you've gotten them to stop thinking about everything else and they're concentrating on what you're talking about. Then on Wednesday night, we have our Christian doctrine class, okay? And you're not even going to want to, amen, believe the doctrine that we're going to be talking about this Wednesday. Amen. Yeah, get that. This Wednesday, guess what we're going to be talking about? The Doctrine of Sanctification, Chapter 31. We're studying major Bible themes by Lewis Berry Schaefer, and it's revised by John F. Wolvert. 52 vital doctrines of the Scripture, simplified and explained. I'm the teacher for that class. Christian doctrine is not an easy thing to teach, but it's simply understanding how God relates to not just the creation, you know, the birds, the bees, and the bats and everything else, but theology proper, how he relates to us. Amen. Amen. And we've learned quite a bit, and I think people, things they never knew. So, amen. You can join us Saturday for a worship service. You can join us Sunday for a worship service when I have a switchboard. And you can join us on Monday for a six Bible class. And my brother, Minister Richard Overall, he has his own ministry, his own Bible class that he teaches on every Tuesday at 4 o'clock. Our Bible classes are at 6 p.m. on Monday and Wednesday. His Bible class is on Tuesday at 4 o'clock. It's called Training Day. And I was listening in last week, you know, and he's bringing it all. He's laying a real good foundation, because all the way back to Genesis. And he's talking about how we got started with God, how God got started with us. In Genesis 1, it's all about God, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the act of creation. But it gets intimate in chapter 2 because the name becomes Jehovah, which means just simply Lord, okay? The capital L-O-R-D, the ones who's over us, whose authority we're under, right? And so he starts relating to Adam in chapter 1. It's theology. It's how God relates to the universe, okay, and creation, right? And in chapter 2, it becomes theology proper, because now God is relating to the man, and that's where the name Jehovah comes from. Or you could toss in there Adonai, which means Lord, owner, master. Put it all together, that's what it means, amen? And so that relationship shows up in chapter 2. And so he's all the way back there showing us how we ended up where we are today. So you're talking about teaching, learning, and doing. And then our own assistant pastor, Janice Tate, she has a class for women every Saturday. All you have to do is contact her. You can get her on Facebook, Janice Elaine Tate, okay? And you can get all the information you need about her class for women. Bondage Breakers is her ministry. She has her own ministry called Bondage Breakers. And I'm telling you, somebody who is willing to volunteer themselves to deal with people in bondage, okay, that's only God can call you to do that, because we like to deal with people who don't really need help. But when you agree to deal with people who Jesus used to end up with, you know, they brought all kinds of people to him. And guess what he did? He broke the bondage over every one of them. So that's what she does in her ministry. So she got a class on Saturdays. Okay, so contact her on Facebook and get all that information. So Learning for Christ Ministries is just surrounded with teaching, learning, and doing. And when everything is working right, amen, we're able to have everything. So I told you that to tell you this. We're not hurting, amen, for a worship service. We won't feel, we're going to feel a certain kind of way, because we love to see and hear each other, okay? But, amen, we're not hurting. We're not going to to fall apart because we can't have a worship service, because God has given us plenty. Amen. Keep one another in prayer, and we're sorry about the technical problems with Blog Talk. And for those who just tuned in, we could not have our regular church service today, so hopefully it will be fixed very soon, and we will see you tomorrow night at 6 p.m. in Bible classes. And I've received 1,000 text messages, but I really can't answer them right now because I'm kind of on the air talking. Amen. And I'm not Jesus. He can do it. He's everywhere at once and can do everything all the time. Like he told Nathaniel, he said, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Amen. If you was under the fig tree, I ain't see you until you told me. Amen. So, amen. God bless you. God keep you. Amen. And we hope this, hope you learned something today. Like I said, Pastor Tate, don't leave a whole lot of meat on the bone when she teaches. So I just decided, the Holy Spirit decided that we would go back and just deal with how Paul ended up talking to these Corinthians. And when you understand Corinth, you'll see the lady named Chloe who went back to Paul, and she was like, "Dude, you know that church you planted over in Corinth? You need to write." See, Pastor Tate is dealing with them first six chapters. They didn't write to Paul about that stuff, because chapter 7 starts with, "And now about the things you wrote to me about." So 1 through 6 is what Chloe told him was going on in that church. And then they wrote to him about everything else from 7 to 16. So she's dealing with those first six chapters. And remember, the whole book is about sanctification. Okay? Have you set yourself apart for God's use? Yes, you're saved, and nothing can ever change that. There's no way you can go to hell. Why? Because Jesus saved you. You didn't save yourself. God so loved the world, he gave his son, so whoever just believes won't perish, have everlasting life. Amen. But sanctification starts after that. That means all that lying becomes less. Like John the Baptist said, and I'm going to just close with that. One day he was with his disciples, and this is, you'll find this in John chapter 3. And the disciples were concerned that Jesus had started baptizing down in the Jordan River, even though Jesus didn't baptize nobody, his disciples did. Okay? And so his disciples came to him and they said, "You know that man that you told us, the Lamb of God, take away the sin of the world. Well, he baptized, and everybody's going to him." And John said to them, "Didn't I tell you that I'm not the Messiah? No man can," here's something you never want to forget that the Lord said, "no man can have anything," and when I say man, men and women, human beings, "no man can have anything unless God gives it. He's the bride. He's the groom. I'm the bridegroom." Okay? Everybody's waiting on the groom, not the best man. He ends it by saying, "I must become less and he must become more." Less of me, a song Ernest Pugh wrote that matches those words, less of me and more of you is what I need. And that's our walk, brothers and sisters, from this earth to the heaven that Jesus went away to prepare for us. The Bible says in Philippians 3:20-21, we are citizens of heaven, and we look for our Savior to come from there, who by the power that enables him will bring everything under his control and give us glorious bodies like his. Until that day comes, Philippians 1:6, Jesus said he's working on us and will continue to work on us It's called sanctification. It's what the book of Corinthians is all about. The whole book is about setting themselves apart from what they were to becoming who they are. It's a process, a progressive work. Amen. We look for our Savior to come from there and give us a glorious body. Until that happens, Jesus is going to be working on us. He's going to be sanctifying us. Yes, I know you're like, dang, now listening to Pastor O, I'm one of them sanctified people. But I'm happy about it. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. Father, we couldn't do what we wanted to do, but we thank you that you allowed us to do what we did do. We thank you that we had church on yesterday. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that if we go to rfcm.org and click on Blog Talk Radio, we can have 15 church services because they're all recorded and archived, and they're all free. Father, freely you have given, so freely we set up a player on that page so they can get it for free, and we thank you for that. We don't have to wait. Father, I went to church this morning with Dr. Tony Evans and Joel Osteen, even before we got here. So I thank you, Father, that you've given us so much. But I pray, Heavenly Father, that we don't just relish in your breakthroughs and your blessings, but that we actually become those people who go out to Jerusalem and to Judea and to Samaria and even to the uttermost parts of this earth, as you have blessed us to be able to do with Facebook and Twitter and all of the other social media sites that you allowed us to have. We use them all to the glory of your name, not to show people what we're having for lunch or show somebody a new thing we done bought or to show somebody a dance step or a movie I'm at. Father, we thank you that we can reach people for Jesus with these things. Thank you for all of these vehicles you've given us to send the word of God to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Lord, we thank you that you're sanctifying us. We thank you that you're setting us apart for your service. We thank you that it's a progressive work, that from day to day we give more of us to you and less of us to us more and more. Every day we acknowledge you in our ways and you give directions to our path. Your word is that light. Your word is that lamp. It helps us to see where we're going so we don't trip and fall along the path. And when we do fall, when we mess it all up, oh, Heavenly Father, we can, in Jesus' name, confess our sin, and you immediately take over, just like you did when the prodigal son got home. Before that boy could even make his confession, you had a robe on him. You had a ring on him. You had sandals on his feet. You identified him as a son when he only wanted to be identified as a servant. Oh, Father, we thank you. We thank you that you're willing to work on us, that you're willing to help us day by day to become more like you and less like us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have caused us to want to no longer be conformed to this world, but we read your word, and your word transforms us from day to day, from moment to moment, from hour to hour, week to week, month to month, year to year, until you get here, Jesus. Until you get here to take us home just like you promised us. You said over there in John chapter 14 that you went away to prepare a place for us and that you were coming back to get us so you could take us to that place that you prepared for us. And when Thomas spoke up for all of us and said, Lord, we don't know where you're going and we sure don't know the way. But Jesus, you told us that you were the way to get to that truth that leads to eternal life that would get you to a place that no man can get to unless they come through you. You're the way, Jesus. You're the way home. You're the way out of this messed up life. You're the way out of this tore up from the floor up existence. You're the way out, Jesus. As long as we follow you, we walk in the light and not darkness. We don't have anything to fear from the darkness as long as we walk in your light. And you have made us the light of the world. Help us, Jesus, to be just like you, to be that great light that has sprung up in dark places where people were dark. and without understanding and without a knowledge of you, here we come, the light, just like Paul was the light in Corinth and took the word of God to that old nasty place that Corinthianized people. He went and planted a church in there, and light sprung up, and light spread out. Help us, Lord, today to be that light that sprung up and spread out. We thank you, Father, that we're able to talk to you. We thank you through Jesus that you hear us every single word. Jesus, we pray just like you did outside Lazarus' tomb, and that's how we know we're heard. You said, Father, I thank you that you always hear me. Oh, Lord God, our Father, we thank you that you always hear us when in the name of Jesus we come boldly to your throne. Not demanding or commanding, but just expecting you to do what you said you would do in your word. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who afforded us this opportunity, this permission, this privilege. Oh, what a privilege it is to bring everything to the Lord in prayer. In Jesus' name, Father, bless where blessing needs to happen. And increase where increase needs to happen. Heal where healing needs to happen. Console where consolation is needed. You are everything, Father. It does not matter what needs we have. You are more than able to bless us exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could even think or ask. We can't even think or ask you for nothing that you can't do. So we come boldly with that kind of faith, expecting you to do what you said, Jesus, when you was here. You said anything you ask the Father in my name, anything you ask me in my name, I'll do it. So in your will, as long as it's according to your will, according to your word, you'll do it. In your word, according to your will, we ask it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine on you and give you peace. Not the peace as the world gives, but like he gives. Until we meet again, amen. God bless you. God keep you. Normally, I would close with a song. Unless you want to hear me sing. I don't think you want to hear me sing because baby Holy Ghost just hit me. So I got to go. God bless you. God keep you. Amen. This is our prayer in Jesus Christ. See you when we see you.